And who might you be?
You don't want to mess with him. That's a stone cold killer. Yeah, you don't want to mess with him. I mean, he's stone cold. Whoo, Matt boy's bad. I seen him rip somebody's guts out through the ass and the eyes fell out. Do the move that you do. The gut and eyes move. All right. That's where the guts went, like, just dropped them.
I'm bad. No, I'm bad, baby. I'll rip your lips off and kiss my ass with them shits.
I seen him do it.
I do that. That's how I get down, baby. I rip your tongue out and lick my balls with them.
Shut up.
Ladies and gentlemen, now the moment you've all been waiting for.
Unfortunately, no one can be told what the Matrix is. You have to see it for yourself. I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you.
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Would you give me a hand with the bags?
Certainly. You take the blonde and I'll take the one in the tithing.
You're hit. You're bleeding, man.
I ain't got time to bleed.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
I command you, as King of the Britons, to stand aside.
I move for no man.
You are now listening to a cinema service.
Welcome to episode 103 of Cinema Crespo. So I'm your host, Chris Crespo. Turn up the volume just a little bit there. How's it going? Hey, can you hear me out there? How's it going? I'm your host, hanging out on this little weird time between Christmas and New Year's, where people are still kind of vacationing, but they're not. I don't know what's going on. A lot of radio shows and podcasts, they stopped working now because apparently that's what you do at the end of the year. I didn't get that memo. I'm still here.
I wish we had. It would have been a good memo to get. I could use some time off.
But we didn't. And here we are. It's episode 103.
Who do we have to talk to about that? Do we have to talk to our overlords?
Got
to
talk to management about that.
I got to talk to management after this.
Management. Yeah. But not the overlords. Leave the overlords alone. All right. They're just the overseers.
Only management. All right. I'll talk to management later.
Yeah. Once you figure out who that is, let me know.
Yeah, it's you. I'll be talking to you later about this.
Huh? This is my co-host, Drewster Cockburn.
What up, bro?
How's it going, Drewster?
It's going, man. Another
holiday week. Christmas is over. Christmas is over.
Yes, it is.
Hope everyone had a merry Christmas.
What a Christmas it was.
Drew felt the Christmas spirit.
Oh, did I ever.
One force of the face. We all did it here and there. So remember, we're in this together, people. Just hang in there. Things are bound to get better.
Oh, of course.
If not worse. but either way, they will not stay the same.
So no, correct.
Prepare for change. If you don't know what we're talking about, don't worry about it. You can go back and download episode 102 to get more of a definition of the Christmas spirit.
Yes, exactly. The true meaning of Christmas.
The true meaning of Christmas. We do it right up front with our guest, Soul Brother Kevin.
Yeah.
SBK.
Uh-huh.
No guests. It's just you and me closing out of 2014. We won't be doing our best of 2014 movie stuff until the end of January. So if you're looking for that, that's going to be a little while, guys. But
man, you know, this would be this little saying on the back of this would be a great Christmas prayer.
What would be the new Christmas prayer?
New Christmas prayer.
That might be copywritten, so we won't say where it's from.
Exactly. Saint, I can't even say that. We lift up our hearts, confident they will be broken. We petition you to make us in equal parts witty, tragic, and sarcastic, that we may endure the leaders who always will disappoint, the powerful who will always deploy Ice Nine, and wars that will always accomplish everything, but the ends used to justify their declaration. Teach us to bear our captivity, real and figurative, with persistence and asterisks. Amen.
Amen. That's very Christmassy.
That is.
And that's why it's there.
Exactly.
That's why it's not part of the studio.
Merry Christmas.
But we need little tea candles to put in front of it,
mm-hmm.
and people can make offerings.
They can.
Christmas offerings.
They should.
Year-round Christmas offerings.
Yes.
St. Christmas.
To St. Kurt. He's like our St. Nick.
He's there watching over us in candle form.
Yes. Yes.
Which is the best he could offer. And we'll accept.
We shall.
Thank you. Speaking of accepting and thanking, before we get the show started, we got a present, a show present, Drewster Cogburn and myself.
Oh, didn't we?
We received these sweet 24-ounce beer steins from buyglasshole.com. Give them a little bit of a
oh, yeah. Because it's big round of applause.
Oh, big one. Okay, here we go.
There we go. That's what they deserve.
Because that's some quality work right there. Very impressed.
They're freaking awesome.
Not sure who ordered them. We didn't order them.
Apparently, an order went through.
An order went through with our show logo on one mug, Juicy Cogburn's little Juicy Cogburn logo that he came up with on the fly one day.
Yeah, out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere. Now it's on the other mug, and it looks amazing.
It does. It looks really good.
Looks great on there.
Definitely got some copyright infringement issues, but whatever.
Nah, we're not reselling them.
No.
We aren't.
No, we are not.
If you want to go to buyglasshole.com and let them know you want a Juicy Cogburn mug, I mean, he might have no compunctions with someone. I mean, if you go and check out this person's site, this guy gives no fucks.
He gives zero fucks.
I was almost embarrassed to show the site to my mom, but I showed it to her.
The Throbber.
Oh, even more than that. There's even other things beyond the Throbber. Throbbers. Yeah. I told her about the Throbber before. Like, listen, the first thing you're saying is a cup with a dick on it. But that's the kind of guy he is. His name is Dr. Glasshole. Go to the Cinema Crespediso Instagram Cinema Crespediso Instagram page. You'll see a few pictures of the mugs. One picture of my mug in use.
Yes.
Holds two full beers.
I have yet to use my mug.
Drew has yet to use it. He's waiting for the specialist of occasions.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe for New Year's I'll use it.
Maybe for New Year's he'll use it. That'd be pretty sweet. So, we didn't order them. So, whoever ordered them, it seems to me they haven't stepped forward and told us there's no thank you card or anything.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Please let me know.
Much thanks to whoever it is.
I have an idea who it might be, but I don't want to say. Yeah. So, just, you know, if you want to step forward and take some credit, please get in touch with me and let me know, and we'll thank you profusely. But if you want to remain like a secret admirer type thing, that's cool too. So, thank you.
A little creepy, but cool.
Nah, it's fine. It's fine. I'll accept gifts all day, every day.
So you're very susceptible to bribery, is what you're saying.
What have I given over for these gifts? Nothing. I haven't asked for anything.
Free content.
I may be being smoothed over for something in the future, but we'll wait and see about that.
Yeah.
So again, shout out to all those people. We really appreciate it. Buyglasshole.com is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And great work.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, guys. Drew, we got new Billy D's Death in the Movies later.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have any emails.
Okay.
So I'm going to have you read the Death in the Movies.
Gotcha.
I got a couple of mini movie reviews.
Okay.
Via Twitter. We can check that stuff out. Got a Twitter question. Got some movie news. Got to talk about some new movies coming out on DVD and in theaters. We got 4 movies to review during the box office recap. We got to make sure we get them all done. And when we do the numbers, who knows how low the numbers are going to end up being on that one. But before we do any of that stuff, just like we start every show, it is time for the Netflix Instant Pick of the Week, week.
For the entertainment that you see, it's time for the Netflix Pick of the Week. The Netflix Instant Pick of the Week.
Alrighty, here we go. Drewster Cogburn is all over that Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. He's checking it out right now.
Alright, Chris, this movie's from 1993. It's an action drama history.
It's historical action drama.
It's rated R.
Dances with Wolves, and that's 92.
2 hours and 10 minutes long.
2 hours and 10 minutes. Rated R. 1993. Starring
Sam Elliott. Val Kilmer.
We did Tombstone already.
Still in there, buddy.
Still in there with it. Maybe there might be duplicates in there, that's possible. Maybe Matt put it back in a bag. Episode 100, double pick, was Tombstone. And what did Curtis pick? Picked something else. But that happens. It's cool. Crespediso Randomizer 9000 isn't perfect.
It's very random.
It is extremely random. So random to the point that some of the things in there aren't even movies. And sometimes movies are duplicated. And other times there are movies that I think are in there, but they're not. But it's cool. You can check out past Netflix Instant Picks of the Week at ChrisCrespo.com. Last week's pick. Ooh, while Drew's doing this, last week's pick was House of Flying Daggers, a Zhang Yimou movie from 2004. First off, I neglected to notice or point out that was 2 weeks in a row that the Netflix randomizer spit out Chinese action films starring Andy Lau, and actually in concurrent years, which is pretty amazing. And then from the corrections department, from the snitches who get stitches, they pointed out to me that I made a mistake there with House of Flying Daggers. I actually mixed that up with the subsequent Zhang Yimou directed Zhang Yiyi starring wushu epic Curse of the Golden Flower.
Okay.
Which is a Chow Yun-Fat. Let's have Chow Yun-Fat. I remember talking with Kevin. Kevin was like, I like Chow Yun-Fat. Mm-hmm. I was like, what's Chow Yun-Fat in House of Flying Daggers? Because I was mixing that up with Curse of the Golden Dragon. Curse of the Golden Flower. So the movie that I described was Curse of the Golden Flower. House of Flying Dragons is a movie about a rebel daggers. Group that lives in the House of Flying Daggers. Daggers is a rebel group that lives in the forest, and they're trying to go up against like the government. Mm-hmm. Zhang Zi is the blind leader, and the police captain, or this dude, tries to go undercover to like rout out the rebels, falls in love with the beautiful young blind,
and so it begins. And blah blah blah. So this movie's from 2013, Chris.
Ooh, it's recent.
Hour and 33 minutes.
It's 2 hours plus.
I said an hour and 33 minutes.
I was thinking 133 minutes. An hour 33 minutes. It's
1 hour 33 minutes.
It
my
is
bad.
Short.
My bad. 1 hour and 33 minutes.
Okay.
1 hour.
We're all on the same page.
Yes. It's a comedy drama thriller.
2013 comedy drama thriller.
Rated R.
The comedy's throwing me off on that one. The comedy drama rated thriller R. from 2013, and it's rated R.
Top build cast.
Top build. Was that a description? Or oh, here we go.
Wallace Shawn.
Inconceivable.
Mia Wasikowska. Or Mia Wasikowska?
Mia Wasikowska. 2013 Mia Wasikowska movie. Is it Stoker? No.
Jesse Eisenberg.
Ooh, the double?
That's and right. And Jesse Eisenberg.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wallace Shawn wasn't that.
Yes, he was. He was the boss.
I was like, what Wallace Shawn movie from 2013? Inconceivable. I love that guy. That guy's awesome. The double. Awesome. That's a good one. I was looking at that one recently and wondering when it was going to pop up in the old randomizer.
Well, hey, guess what? It just did.
So we saw this at this year's Florida Film Fest, right?
Correct.
It was FFF 2014.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually go back and check out our initial reactions to that. If you go back and look at our bonus episode, our Florida Film Fest bonus episode, we talk about it in depth. The double is indeed, what do they call it, a comedy
drama thriller.
Yes, it is a comedy drama thriller. It gets weird. It starts
it does
very arty and strange, and it takes a couple seconds for you to kind of get a feel of the style and the tone of the movie. But once you get it and you see what's going on, oh man, things get pretty wild.
Oh yeah,
based on Dostoevsky's The Double, a little bit of Russian lit for y'all. Jesse Eisenberg plays a dude who he's very he's an introvert. He's not assertive. He's has a chance to talk to a girl that he likes, he clams up, he can't speak.
Mm-hmm.
He's that type of guy. At work, he gets pushed over. And then one day at his job, some dude shows up that looks exactly like him, dresses just like him, happens to be played by Jesse Eisenberg. He's his exact double. However, he acts in the opposite way. He's an extrovert. He's very charming. He can talk to anyone, gets whatever he wants. He gets by without working very hard. And then the whole movie is about the interplay between these two characters and how no one else realizes that these two guys look exactly alike. That's kind of weird.
It is.
It's a weird movie.
It is.
What a strange
ending.
It's
awesome.
Very awesome. Very good. Very good. Very worth checking out. Remember the movie, The Watch?
Yes.
Neighborhood Watch, it was called, and they changed it to Watch, and it was on all the posters. There was Jonah Hill, Ben Stiller, Vince Vaughn, and then that guy. And then fourth guy. Remember fourth guy?
Yes.
It was, vaguely ethnic looking dude with glasses. That's Richard Ayoade.
Yeah, I know him from
you know him
the
from
IT Crowd.
A lot of people don't know where he's from. IT Crowd's in British.
It's on Netflix.
It's an English show. It's on Netflix. He's an English comedian fellow, but this is his second movie and he's quite good.
Yeah, he is.
He's a skilled director. Interesting guy.
Strange little movies.
So there you go. The Double. Good stuff. Let's get into that box office recap. What do you say?
Yeah, man.
Wait, where you want to start with this one?
This week we're starting at number 20.
Goddamn.
So, coming in at number 20.
Number 20.
Foxcatcher. Had a weekend gross of $947,000.
$947,000?
Yes. For a total gross of $6.2 million.
All right, it has been playing since middle of November.
It's still only in 300 theaters.
Only in 300 theaters managed to make over $6 million. That's pretty good. That's pretty damn good. I mean, I guess people are very interested in this movie.
Well, there's
Steve Carell and Channing Tatum.
There's reason to be.
Mm-hmm. Drew, why don't you go ahead and get us started on the Foxcatcher discussion there?
I mean, it's obviously based on the true story of John DuPont and his
John Golden Eagle DuPont.
Yeah, and you know his relationship with two Olympic wrestlers, David and Mark Schultz,
the Schultzes,
and you know all the crazy bullshit that happened. I mean, it's all a true story, so it's all public record. You know, but it, you know, it's a very good dramatization of said actions. I mean, there were. Everybody had facial had head prosthetics.
Everyone had something going on.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Who was it?
Mark Ruffalo.
Mark Ruffalo. He had just the cauliflower ears. Other than that, he looked pretty normal.
And also
the balding.
Yeah, they gave him the receding hairline okay. and the bald patch. So, I didn't
know.
His hair.
I didn't know if that was natural or not. I mean, Ruffalo's getting up. He's fair, getting up there.
Fair enough. Could be so, Israel. Yeah. Could. Be. I think they
probably
his hair
did
that way. Yeah.
Now that I think about
but,
it.
Yeah, they did though. They that's what it said.
Channing Tatum looks like he had like stuff in his bottom gums. He had
an underbite.
Yeah, underbite, and they almost like he's already got a really square jaw, but they seem to square it out even more,
make him look more meatheady.
Yeah,
yeah.
And cauliflower ears again.
And
then I mean,
and then Steve Carell.
Steve Carell barely looked like himself.
He looked crazy.
He reminded me of Danny DeVito as the Penguin.
Yeah, the big nose thing with the crazy teeth.
And it was really weird, like when you're first introduced to him and you see him, and it's like, okay, you know, I've seen the trailer, so I know what he's going to look like.
Yeah.
He started talking, and I was like, man, that's just so weird. You know, Steve Carell, I'm used to hear him crack jokes and everything.
Yeah.
But within like 5 minutes, I completely forgot about all that, and it was just.
He's just the character.
He was really good.
He is really good in that. That's why I now understand all the talk about the awards.
Yeah,
and stuff.
No, seriously.
And
Steve Carell did an awesome job in this movie.
Like career changing.
Really, this was his, you know, like, what was the movie where Tom Hanks finally decided to go?
Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Philadelphia.
This is his Philadelphia.
There you go. Yeah.
It really is.
And it's really good.
It shows, you know, range that he can actually act. He's not just a funny guy.
Also, I think we can finally stop being surprised by Channing Tatum at this
point. At this point in time, completely. If you don't think that he is actually an accomplished actor by now,
yeah,
then you're never gonna get it. Because I mean,
he's intense. He's real good.
Good.
He has to carry a lot of the movie.
Yeah, he does. And he does carry a lot of the movie.
Very emotional, intense, kind of complex stuff going on there with. Relationship with his brother and DuPont and what he wants out of life and stuff.
Just everything, yeah.
Interesting, you know, he's still alive. That guy's still around.
Yeah.
Like, wonder what he
thinks about this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What his involvement was with it or anything.
Who knows?
Who knows? It's good.
It was really good. I mean, I
bit of a bummer.
Of course, but and you know, I kind of had high expectations from all the buzz, and it met my expectations. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. I
mean, you know, it was long. It was talky. There's not really a lot going on per se.
It's not an action movie.
Yeah,
yeah. It's about how the characters' relationships evolve and how when you know they say certain things to each other and it just changes the way they look at each other and think about each
changes
other.
Changes everything
and the way they bring other people in and or exclude people from certain activities. And it's just like, oh man, this shit gets
pretty intense.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Definitely a lot of questions. No, it's not like the type of movie either that wraps everything up and tells you what to think.
Yeah, no. It just kind of presents the case.
Yeah.
And lets you do whatever you think, you know?
Exactly. A kind of a presentation of what happened. You figure out, I don't want to say what it means, but it's just, you know, it's complicated.
Yeah.
The way DuPont was
doing everything,
the way his
relationships.
To be a mentor.
Well, yeah, his relationships with everybody, you know, whether it be
with his mom,
or Mark or David or just anybody.
His
in
obvious
general.
Desire to be a mentor
and a father
and no friends.
Exactly, and a friend.
Looked like he may have been looking for a lover.
He might have been looking for a lot of things.
I think that's what you might have been looking for. It's good.
Yeah.
Good movie. Definitely worth checking out. Definitely seeing. I'd have to think about it for a while. Let it marinate to see if it would get in the top 10 of my year end or if it's the top 15 type thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But definitely very good. I was very, very pleased with my experience watching this movie. So yeah, go see it in theaters, right?
Totally.
Yeah, absolutely. On the Rotten Tomatoes, it has 86% rating, positive, out of 158 reviews. so only 22 are, quote, rotten. Average rating of 7.8 out of 10.
I'd probably give it, like, an 8.
Yeah, I'd go around 8. Yeah. Yeah, I'd give it a little higher. Consensus, a chilling true crime drama. Foxcatcher offers Steve Carell, Mark Ruffalo, and Channing Tatum a chance to shine, and all three of them rise to the challenge.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, they're all great.
They are.
They're all fantastic.
But, you know, at this point in time, you know, if you tell me that Mark Ruffalo isn't a good actor, I would just tell you to fuck off.
Yeah, I mean.
I've known that Mark Ruffalo is good for
also,
a while.
Also, can we please someone make a movie version of Columbo with Mark Ruffalo, please?
Seriously.
Thank you.
Right? Just putting that out there.
Just make that happen. I'd appreciate it. All right, so there you go. What's next on our list there?
Coming in at number 15.
Okay.
Hey, guys.
Ooh.
Had a weekend gross of $2.9 million, total of 4.4.
Of course, it came out on a Wednesday on Christmas Eve.
Budget is unlisted.
I think I saw the budget for this, too. It's around $40 million, something like that. Yeah. How many theaters?
1,300
theaters. That's not a very good opening for this movie. Definitely expecting more. Kind of a hard sell, though. It's not like Amy Adams or Christoph Waltz or box office draws. They've been in popular movies.
Well, and they're both accomplished actors.
Both
and
accomplished
they're
good. Actors. People know who they are, but people aren't going out to see the new Amy Adams.
No,
you know, or the new Christoph Waltz.
Well, I'm going to see the new Christoph Waltz, but that's just me. I mean,
That's just you. And have you seen it? No.
No, but I saw Zero Theorem, which nobody else saw.
No one did see Zero Theorem.
And that movie was freaking awesome.
That was a crazy movie there. Well, I saw Big Eyes, and it's a good movie.
Okay.
It's good. I mean, yeah, it's entertaining. It's a crazy story. It's a story of Walter Keen, the professed artist, who was actually a fraud.
Yes.
Stole all his wife's work.
Yep.
Kind of like dominated her. Emotionally, you know, had her trapped in a relationship while he was doing all this shit, that her like trying to get out of it. The movie is also in part about how, you know, in the 50s and 60s it was a good time in America to be a man,
yeah,
not so much to be a woman.
Mm-hmm.
So some of that shit was going on, yeah. But it's not like the movie says a lot about it. It's not a big feminist statement, unless just presenting this woman's story itself as the feminist statement.
Yeah,
that could be Margaret Keane's story. It's the least Tim Burton-y movie of all his movies.
Okay.
You know, in the beginning, there was like a shot of the suburbs.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's very Edward Scissorhands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then sometimes here and there, it felt a little Ed Wood, okay, kind of. But it's also the people who wrote Ed Wood are the same people who wrote this screenplay.
Okay, so that's why.
So that's why there's feels like some parallels there in the telling of these real-life dramas. But it was good. The acting's good. You know, it's directed just fine. It's a good story. Since Tim Burton doesn't go as stylish or crazy, he doesn't get in his own way. He just lets the story
play itself out.
Yeah, and it's good. So, I mean, I would definitely say this is like a Redbox movie. This is something, if you see it on HBO one night, it's worth sitting down and watching. I think you'll like it. But it's not like rush out to theater, go see it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not making any top 10 lists or nothing like that. On the Rotten Tomatoes, 71% positive out of 112 reviews. 6.7 out of 10. I'd go around there, like a 7 out of 10 or something like that. Well-acted, thought-provoking, and a refreshing change of pace for Tim Burton, Big Eyes works both as a biopic and as a timelessly relevant piece of social commentary. I don't know about that last part. I mean, they play a little bit of lip service to the what is art debate, but then they don't even come down on an issue. There's Terrence Stamp, General Zod. Mm-hmm. He plays an art critic, New York Times art critic, who trashed all of Keane's stuff as kitschy.
Yeah.
And saying it's not even art. Straight up, this isn't art.
Mm-hmm.
But then meanwhile, the movie says, you know, millions of people are buying this stuff, so can the millions of people be wrong? Yes, millions of people can be wrong.
They're wrong all the time.
Are they wrong in this instance? I don't know. I'm not an art critic. Mm-hmm. Not in terms of, you know, paintings and shit like that, right? But yeah, I think millions of people can be wrong. Just because everyone likes it doesn't mean it's fucking worthwhile.
Good.
But is it, though? I mean, the movie doesn't really say much with that, so I don't know about the social commentary part.
Okay.
So there you go.
Coming in at number 7 this week, make a jump.
All right.
The Gambler had a weekend gross of $9.3 million. Total of 14.3 on a budget of 25.
How many theaters again was that one?
Almost 2,500.
God damn. I don't know, Mark. Marky Mark, I think you wanted more than number 7, didn't you, buddy?
Yeah, but he doesn't take off his shirt in this movie, does he?
I want to say one scene he may have his shirt open.
That's why.
thinking
Mark
hard.
Wahlberg makes more money with his shirt off.
He did like lose a bunch of weight, so
he looks a little gaunt.
Yeah, he's gaunt looking. Someone told him, hey, that's how Tom Hanks did it.
Yeah,
that's how Matthew McConaughey did it.
Yeah,
but he didn't lose enough weight. No. He just looks a little gaunt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a remake of a 70s film, James Caan's 70s movie. And you don't really have to see the original at all to get this one. Mark Wahlberg plays the gambler. I forgot his name, so I just call him the gambler. And he's an all-in or nothing kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
So like he takes his $10,000 and he walks up to the blackjack table and he puts it all down on one bet.
And he either wins or loses.
He either wins or loses. And if he wins, then he double or nothing. Here we go. And he keeps pushing, keeps pushing, keeps pushing. So, of course, he keeps losing.
Yeah.
Gets himself deeper and deeper in debt. So the movie starts out with him, like, super deep in debt and trying to figure out how he's going to gamble his way out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the whole movie. Also, he's a professor, associate professor of literature, because he's a novelist. Okay. Or a guy who only wrote one novel.
Yeah.
And so there's this long, like, 10-minute scene towards the beginning where he's running around a big... like lecture hall, and he's like ranting and raving about how he's this character who's always completely honest, which means he's a complete asshole to everyone.
Yeah, pretty much. I know the feeling.
Yeah, so he's telling everyone in the room, like, listen, none of you are geniuses. There's only one person in this room who's a genius, and it's this person. Everyone else, you can all fuck off and stop trying, because it's all in or go home, you know. So the world needs electricians too.
Yeah.
That type of guy. And just in case you don't get it, like later on in the movie, another character tells him, he's like, man, you're all in or nothing.
You're all in or nothing, man.
Yeah, someone explains it to him.
He's like, oh.
To explain it to us, like, oh, we get it. I see now what they're doing here. You know, it's an entertaining enough film. It's definitely like a Redbox type thing.
Okay.
You know, definitely, or just wait for it to be on TV.
Looking forward to be on the Redbox then.
Yeah, because it's... it's well paced. The movie, you know, the story goes, the gambling aspects, you know, part of the movie get pretty tense.
Yeah.
John Goodman's in it, and he's like, man.
Old.
Not just.
And bald.
Not really old, but.
Phoning it in, maybe.
Big as a house, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah. Getting the Marlon Brando in his later years looking type of thing, where.
Well, especially with the baldness, too.
Just kind of.
Just let it go.
Just kind of wanted to be around a little longer. And the way he's going, I don't see that happening. Wahlberg's good. Brie Larson's in it. She's good, but her character's not really that well developed anyway. Like, there's this whole love story thing that really doesn't go anywhere.
Okay.
But then the movie has a big payoff that depends on the love story, so it's like,
Yeah, whatever.
It's like they try to end it with dramatic emphasis.
Yeah.
And it was just like a dramatic meh.
Okay, nice.
So, I thought it was okay, really. Again, not really worth running out of the game scene, but it's a movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Mark Wahlberg movie. On the Rotten Tomatoes, we're looking at 48% out of 79 reviews. Average rating 5.7 out of 10. I'd go like 6 out of 10. Well-paced and reasonably entertaining. That's what I said.
Yeah.
In its own right, The Gambler still suffers from comparisons to the James Caan classic that inspired it. I don't even think it matters about the original. The movie stands and dies on its own. In this case, it's like...
All right, man.
It's okay enough.
Coming at number 5 this week.
It has its moments.
Annie made another $16.6 million for a grand total of $45.8 on a budget of $65.
Good job, Annie. Good job, Beast of the Southern Wild Girl. Movie is very poorly reviewed.
Yep. Coming at number 4 this week, 95th Museum, Secret of the Tomb.
Mm-hmm.
Made an additional $20.6 million, total of $55.3 on a budget of $127.
That's a pretty big budget.
Yeah, it's not going to make that money back.
No, I don't. Not in the States. Not in America.
Coming in number 3 this week.
Not in America.
Into the Woods. We can gross at $31 million. Mm-hmm. Total of 46, mm-hmm. Budget unlisted on box office moho.
That's got to be like a $40, $50 million picture.
Easily.
It's got some special effects.
It's a music, based on a musical.
Based on a musical.
Obviously,
we didn't see it. Not Stephen Sondheim fans are we. Just don't really care about musicals. Well, on the Rotten Tomatoes, though. Let's see how it's looking. So people got to know. They need some information about this. We can't just blow right by a brand new movie.
We could.
71%.
Okay. So it might be good.
So it might be okay. Average rating of 6.7 out of 10 out of 129 reviews. On the whole, this adaptation of the Sondheim classic sits comfortably at the corner of Hollywood and Broadway. Ooh, that's cute. Mm-hmm. Even if it darkens to its detriment in the final act.
Sweet. So, a little darker. Maybe, hey, maybe I'll like it then.
Yeah.
I like dark shit.
Did you kill a kid? Maybe because then Drew's into it.
I mean, damn.
Right?
I mean.
Right? That's the truth.
I mean, yeah, I would be into it more, but that sounds awful when you say it.
Well, yeah, say it out loud
yeah.
with words.
Uh-huh.
You make me seem bad.
Yes.
I don't know why I made you a Jewish woman.
I don't know. Apparently, I'm an old Jewish lady, though.
My name is Drewster Cogburns, and here's the number one movie of the weekend.
No, we're with the number two movie of the weekend,
I'm sorry,
Chris.
I wasn't paying attention, Drewsters.
Number two this week, Unbroken. Had a weekend gross of 31.7 mil, total of 47.3. A budget unlisted.
Unbroken. I saw Unbroken.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I did. This is like two movies mashed together with like a third of another movie sprinkled throughout it.
Okay.
Because first it's a movie of this dude who spent almost 2 months stranded at sea. During World War II in the Pacific Ocean, mm-hmm. and all the hardship that entailed, surviving. And then there's a story of a dude who's in a Japanese prisoner of war camp for a long time, and all the bullshit they had to go through just to survive that.
Yeah, that sounds pretty awful.
Just happens to be that's the same dude for both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then also it's part of the story about how this guy was like into the Olympics when he was a runner.
Yeah.
Running got him out of trouble when he was a kid.
Who is the Olympic athlete?
Who is the Olympic athlete? Yeah, we saw the trailer a bunch of times. So it's a good movie. I mean, it's a very intense, very impressive story. It's a true story. It's, I guess, this time of year, a lot of true stories between you got this, the Big Eyes, Foxcatcher, all based on true stories.
Yeah.
And this one is, you know, it's definitely when you see it all laid out. It's like, yeah, I can see why someone would make a movie about this because.
It's pretty crazy.
Dude did everything from fight sharks to survive working in a Japanese coal mine, prisoner of war coal mine.
Probably winning Olympic medals of sorts.
Not winning Olympic medals because, you know, they had to go out of their way, too, for some reason to point this out. He went to Berlin
mm-hmm.
in 36,
yeah.
and he told his brother, this is my tryout. You know, I'm shooting for Japan in 40, Tokyo in 40.
And then
got canceled.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, well,
because
World War II.
War.
Yeah, we dropped a bomb on Tokyo.
What is it good for? He was a bombardier, so the movie starts with him with them going on a bombing mission.
Yeah.
And so there's an opening, like, dogfight scene that's actually really intense, really mm-hmm. well done. It's a well-made movie. I feel it's a little... just a little static in terms of, like, I think, you know, Angelina Jolie as the director, she saw the materials like, this is something that requires reverence uh-huh. and you know, being held up, you know, like this is something to put on a pedestal type of thing. So the movie shot like, oh, this is important, kind of like, you know, like a prestige picture type of thing. And I think it maybe would have benefited a little more from, like, kind of the Foxcatcher thing, where...
A little darker, a little grittier,
Not necessarily darker, grittier, just a little bit less stylized.
Okay.
More just letting the story play out. Like, here are the facts, here's how it happened, instead of trying to drum up some of the emotional beats and really, you know, swelling up the music here and there. It just felt like a little... like, maybe just a little heavy-handed.
Okay.
But it's still good. Still good. You know, she surrounds herself with immense talent.
Well, of course.
Roger Deakins is a cinematographer, so the movie looks great. Alexander Desplat is a composer, so it's got good music. Even if it's a little too heavy here and there, it's still good. The Coen brothers gave the screenplay a pass.
Yeah.
You know, they did enough work on it that they got credited as a part of the writers. Yeah. So a lot of very talented, good people worked on it, and the movie's good.
All right.
It's pretty good. So, let's see what they say over here on
the Rot Tomat.
Out of 140 reviews, 51% of them are positive. 51% rating.
Nice.
6.1 out of 10 is the average rating. I'd go a little higher. I'd give like a 6.5.
Okay.
Maybe 6.75 type of thing. Unbroken is undoubtedly well-intentioned, but it hits a few too many of the expected prestige pick beats to register as... Oh, and it went forward.
And, well, you get the idea. As strong as it should. So
pretty much exactly what you said.
Pretty much all the stuff I just said. So.
Coming in at number one this week, once again, The Hobbit, Battle of the Five Armies.
Oh, yeah, that movie came out.
$41.4 million, total of $168.5.
That movie came out, huh?
Yeah, we still got to see that.
We still got to see it. We'll definitely have a chance to see it soon.
Yeah.
Because there's only like one or two movies next weekend, and the week after that, then it's January, the dregs of January. At that time,
American Sniper comes out finally.
Well, that's the December movie that it comes out for us.
Yeah,
our listeners in New York and LA, they already got a chance to watch that. They have a chance to see Inherent Vice,
Most Violent Year.
Ooh, yes, Most Violent Year. They already had
Inherent Vice. Yeah.
So yeah, guys,
Selma finally. We'll
be getting around to that stuff by the first by January 9th. We'll be getting around to that.
Apparently the 16th is American Sniper.
We'll be getting around to that by the middle of January, which is why the best of the year discussion comes at the end of January, people.
Yeah.
You know, we all can't be in the right places at the right times. Hobbit, : Battle of the Five Armies, parentheses, only four armies show up, double parentheses. That might be a spoiler. I haven't seen the movie. Also made $405 million international so
they're
far.
Already over half a billion dollars.
$573 million worldwide. I know it's not available budget, but because they shot the three movies combined.
Well, three of them combined were just under $1 billion, I thought.
It's about like $800 million combined to make them. So 2.5, a little more than 2.5 each, 250,000 each, 250 million, 250. I need to drink some more. I love beer and I hate math. So, but I'm not here about the math, I'm here about The Hobbit. And how we didn't see it, so yeah. We'll be talking about it eventually. So, sorry about that, folks. New movies coming out on DVD. The best bad movie of 2014, Denzel Washington, is The Equalizer.
Oh, yeah, it was a pretty good bad movie.
No, it's a very entertaining, very great, very bad movie. But in all the right ways, so. In all the exact ways it should be bad. On DVD, coming out also is the latest Kevin Smith movie, Tusk.
Sweet. I'll finally get a chance to see that.
About the American podcaster.
Turns into a walrus.
Who got turned into a walrus in the Canadian wilderness by Michael Parks.
Yep.
And that's it. What's up on DVD? So let's come out and
The only thing we care about is The Most Violent Year.
What we got? Most Violent Year, written and directed by J.C. Chandor, guy who did Margin Call. Yeah, I did Margin Call, and then All Is Lost. Those are his two movies.
All Is Lost is so good.
Very, very crazy movie. So this is his mafioso, early 80s mafioso film.
Yep. With Oscar Isaac and Jessica Chastain.
With two of my favorite current actors. Two of my favorite actors who have exploded onto the scene within the last few years. For sure.
The Woman in Black 2, Angel of Death.
Woman in Black 2?
Yeah.
Colon?
No colon. The Woman of Black 2, Angel of Death.
Woman of Black to Angel of Death?
Yes.
So it's like Slip Up to the Streets?
I guess. The Woman of Black to Angel of Death.
That's a crazy title.
But it's 2.
Yeah.
The number 2.
Right. Yeah, like Step Up to the Streets.
And then, I guess, Record 4 Apocalypse?
Oh, Rec 4?
Yeah, whatever the hell that is.
That's a surprising series of cheap horror films that have gotten popular.
That comes 2. Out too. And that's it.
Rec 4, people.
That's it. So, A Most Violent Year. Maybe we'll get to see The Hobbit next weekend.
Maybe it'll be next weekend. We'll see. Maybe it'll be next weekend. One of the first movies of the new year. Could be an old one from last year. The Hobbit, : Battle of the Five Armies. Parentheses. Yep. Only four on my show. So let's take a break here. I got a couple. I got a couple 80s songs for you guys. Get things
80s.
Going. Get things pumping. Get the juices flowing. Remember the Transformers movie?
Yes,
the animated one.
Yes, where Optimus dies in like the first 5 minutes.
Spoiler!
And my entire childhood fell before my eyes.
Spoiler alert. There's a song in there.
Okay.
Touch.
Sure.
It's the same song that they sing in Boogie Nights.
Okay. It's kind of weird.
And then there's a big lawsuit over it afterwards.
It's really weird.
Yeah, that's the song that they used. Yeah.
But wow.
And then they got sued because they're like, we didn't know this was a Transformers movie.
Hey, that's some good movie trivia. What do Boogie Nights and the Transformers movie have in common?
And then it's actually, is it called a Transformers movie or is it Transformers the movie?
Transformers the movie.
: the movie.
Yeah.
From 1984, Transformers the movie. The song Touch. And remember in... I've talked about this before on the show. In the 80s, there's a thing with action movies where something bad would happen in relation to the hero, and he'd be sad, and he'd be like driving around,
yeah,
or walking around a city, and it's nighttime, and there's yeah, and there's an entire song, and some guy says, "You got to go out and be tough," something like that, right?
Yeah.
This one's from Kickboxer.
Okay.
The funny thing about the Kickboxer one is Jean-Claude Van Damme's character.
Yeah.
He's in Thailand, and he doesn't have a car or a bike or anything, so it's mostly him on public transportation.
Nice. Pretty him cool. Just sitting on a bus looking out the window.
Yeah, and then he sees the reflection of Tong Po in the window. He's like, oh, yeah. And he turns around ready to fight, and he's not there. And then the song's like, you got to fight. So here you go, guys. Check out these two songs. We'll be back in the second half of the show, and then we'll be done. So here we go. You got the power.
Nowhere to turn, so far away from her. It's up to me. I've got to be strong to fight for love with all my heart. Fight for love, ignite the spark. Fight for love. Fight.
Welcome to Just Like Nav, episode 103 of Cinema Crespo. So I'm your host, Chris Crespo, hanging out with Drew Sir Cogburn. Drew,
what up, dude? Sure.
Your supporters, man.
Mm-hmm.
They're out there for you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Nazi supporters.
They're there. You don't see the supporters? You don't see them?
Nope.
You are not seeing them? Don't. Not even worth that sarcastic. That not even worth the sarcastic. But don't
that was awful.
The man who pours himself a beer and a sodi.
I got a little carried away with myself.
We just came back from a delicious Italian wedding bar cake break.
It was tasted a lot like carrot cake.
We are filled with buttercream. And now we're feeling kind of tired. So here we go. Second half of the show. Get the plugs going. ChrisCrespo.com. Go there. Check out reviews, Netflix picks, things like that. Hit me up on Twitter at IamChrisCrespo. Hit up the show on Twitter at CrespoDiso. Facebook.com/CinemaCrespoDiso. Instagram.com/CinemaCrespoDiso. Drew.
At Antihero419. All over the interwebs.
All over the interwebs. 419. Check him out. Oh, there we go. Gotta get that one out there. If we got stickers, people. We have stickers. We have two types of stickers.
Yeah, we do.
We have a couple free stickers to give away. So if you want them, don't be shy. Let us know. We will send you some. Just email the show, cinemacrespediso@gmail.com. We will put some in the mail to you. Two types. Those of you who got in early and only got the one type, if you want the other type, let me know. I'll send you some more stickers.
Yeah, why not?
We're cool like that.
It's not like we don't have them.
Not like we found a small cache of unclaimed stickers, and you can be the first ones to have them. First come, first serve. First come, first come serve. No, first serve, first come. What's going on? What's happening here?
First come, first serve.
First of those, get the stickers. Something like that.
Yep.
Am I right?
Uh-huh.
Is that right?
Yeah. Sure.
Let's see, where are we at? Where are we going? What's going on over here? Where do you want to start with? I guess it's time for this week's... Hey, wait a second. What's wrong with you, man? It's time for this week's Billy D's Death of the Movies. All right, here we go, Billy D's
Death of the Movies.
This guy, man. So glad you made it! building off of last week. I'm sorry, Joe. I was going to say, okay. Building off of last week, we're going to have Drew doing the reading the abilities at the movie. So here we go, Drew. Get us started.
What is happening, my dudes?
My dudes.
I hope Christmas was great for all and Santa Crest left you all gifts under the tree or gifts of trees.
Ooh.
I wanted to thank Dr. Drew for shipping the stickers. They look awesome. Look for some grainy IGs of them in NYC starting today.
Check
Billy D's Instagram feed at I Love Blood
at
if you
want to
see where our stickers are.
Drew will send you some more of these newer stickers we got, Billy.
Yeah.
He'll make sure that happens.
This week was another Amazon rental at Death at the Movies. It was Starry Eyes.
Starry Eyes.
Starry Eyes is from the same group of people behind Your Next, The Innkeepers, The Guest, the VHS franchise, and House of the Devil. So naturally, it fetishizes the 90s DTV aesthetic.
Okay.
The 90s DTV aesthetic is so hot right now. I really enjoyed Starry Eyes. It did a lot of unexpected things. It's set and shot during the gloomiest days in L.A. and chooses to celebrate the darkness and grime, even though it's about doing anything for the glitz and the fame. It also features Pat Healy from Cheap Thrills and a bunch of the movies above. He's a new favorite. He's a new favorite that guy for me. That guy.
One of those that guys popped up in Foxcatcher. Brett Rice.
Yeah.
I was like, hey.
That guy.
Who's that guy?
This makes a really nice double feature with House of the Devil, which is awesome and usually available on all the streaming things. Mm-hmm. Stay cool and have a happy new year, Billy D.
All right. Starry Eyes. I guess he's talking about, I wonder if that's a group of producers or production company that's behind the Your Next, Innkeepers, The Guest, VHS, because Your Next and The Guest is Adam Weingard. Innkeepers and House of the Devil is Ty West. VHS is a series of shorts, like an anthology.
Uh-huh.
And I know these guys have done parts of those along with other directors.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting Starry Eyes. Very cool. Still got to see that Cheap Thrills.
Yeah. One of these days.
We still got to see the Cheap Thrills, Drew. What's wrong with us, man? What's taking?
There's lots of things wrong with us.
There are a lot of things wrong with us. And very little have anything to do with movies or watching movies. Or so what kind of soda you pour yourself over there?
Cream soda.
Oh, delicious cream soda. Just sitting there.
Yep. Getting warm.
Cream soda, too, if you poured it next to like a delicious Amstel Light. They almost look kind of identical there. Same coloring.
Yeah.
Could confuse some children.
Mm-hmm.
Don't pour your Amstel Lights next to the kids' cream sodas. That is your Crispity So parenting tip of the week.
One and only. Probably.
Yeah, that's all I got. Sorry. Yeah, I don't see that being a recurring segment. Ooh, you know what's a... I should have set something up for Chris reads things off the internet.
Yes. Chris reads things from the internet.
You know what? Why tease the segment and then not do it? I can first thing, I got the Chris reads things off the internet theme music. Okay, there we go.
Boop-bop-boop-bop.
Didn't expect it to just...
Chris reads things at the move.
All right, here we go. Yeah, and then I have to find something to read off the internet. So, you know, it's a good enough standby for now. If I just pull this up here.
Did you not have a Chris reads things from the internet?
Hello, welcome to Twitter. Why is it trying to... Oh, man, I see what it's trying to do because it thinks that I'm on the... login. Here we go. Login. Loginitas. Login. You won't let me. Okay. Well, that's why I have multiple devices. So, Drew, how was your Christmas break? Very Christmassy.
It was full of Christmas.
It was totally Christmas.
Totally, 100% nothing but. It was 100% unadulterated Christmas joy.
I'm sorry about that.
All of it. The whole thing. From pretty much when I got there till I left.
I am, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was that time of the year.
It is.
It is Christmas after all.
Or Christmas time. Hope you're feeling the Christmas spirit. Twitter seems to be down, so.
All right.
I was going to look up that Amazon movie reviews.
Yeah, nope.
Dang it, I can't do it. Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
Hopefully your next Christmas will be less Christmassy.
Yes.
But I make
and no, more Christmassy.
I make no promises.
No.
No guarantees.
And neither do I. I mean, you know. I'm pretty sure I know how my Christmases are going to be for the next couple years.
New Year's, though. Coming up. Got any New Year's plans?
Probably going to fall asleep before midnight and not work the next day.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty good. We will have a bonus episode for you guys on... It'll be plopping Christmas Eve. Yes, go back in time. It's going to plop back in time. No, it's coming out New Year's Eve morning. Bonus episode. Check that out. Cinema Crespo Episode. The only show stupid enough to crank out new content during the holidays. The holidays, D-A-Z-E. See what we did there? Up witty. Ba-doom. Smart people. That's us. That's why we're here.
Really? Does wit constitute intelligence?
Nah, oh, no. No. And that wasn't wit, so that's two strikes right there. And here we go. Bunch of foul tips trying to stave off strike three. Well, actually, the failure of Chris Reed's tweets off. Yeah, it was strike three, so here we go. Moving on. If you have a mini movie review for the show, you can give it to us on Twitter at Crespediso. My space pen. I got a space pen. It writes upside down. But the top half is just all gone. That's only the cap. It's cool. I'll get back.
It's fine.
You can tweet us your mini movie review. You can send it to us. Email cinemacrespediso@gmail.com. There's a local stand-up comic in town. This dude, Jordan, who might start giving us movie review haikus.
Nice.
So that'll be fun, you know. So here we go. Mr. Nadathon on Twitter writes, "The Gambler, just okay."
All right.
Marky Mark was great, but the plot dragged on. Lots of shirtless John Goodman, if you're looking for sexy.
Ugh.
Oh, boy, it was not good looking, man. It's one of those things where...
What size bra should he be wearing?
You really can't see the man top. I'm looking at a... He's got to be a C cup by now, at least.
Okay.
It's one of those things where he... Like, there's a shot of him... Like, the first scene you see him in, and you see it in the trailer, he's in, like, a bathhouse.
Yeah.
And he's shaving his head, and he's shirtless, and he has a towel wrapped around his neck.
Yep.
Obviously, to hide the...
The man boobs.
And then, like, he moves over, and he sits down. He's wearing, like, sweatpants or something, and he sits down next to Mark Wahlberg. And there's a shot where you can see him sitting down, and you see his, like, bottom on the on the seat. And it's just, like...
Wide.
So wide. He's gotten so wide. And it's not like I'm trying to point out that the dude's just fat.
Because he is.
Because he is, but, I mean, it's like a really scary, unhealthy level. And I just want more John Goodman. And not in that way.
Yeah.
I want him in more movies. And not if he's going to be waddling around like that, man. He's not going to be much for this planet.
True that.
He keeps doing that. But Mr. Nathan, it looks like we kind of agree a lot on The Gambler.
Oh.
Oh, snap. Here we go. Just the guy. You were logged out of your Twitter account. Officially... For 2014, Drusen Cogburn is 13-7.
It's not bad at all.
Winning record.
2 years in a row.
Will you count 50-50 winning record? Sure, why not? Not a losing record.
I wasn't losing.
Drew never has losing records. Now I want to come to Drusen Cogburn versus the world. So here we go. One final round for 2014. Let's play Angie, Andy, or Sandy.
Angie, Andy, or Sandy?
I'm going to tell you the movie. You tell me, is it an Angelina Jolie movie? You want to write this down? Angelina Jolie is the Angie. Andy Garcia is the Andy. Almost went Andy McDowell.
Uh-huh.
Sandra Bullock is your Sandy.
Okay.
Here we go. Angie, Andy, or Sandy. Number one, Forces of Nature.
Andy.
Ooh, incorrect. That's a Sandy. It's a Sandy. Number two, The Pink Panther 2.
Andy?
That's an Andy. Number three, Changeling.
Angie.
That's an Angie. Number four, While You Were Sleeping.
Andy?
That's a Sandy. Number five, A Mighty Heart.
Angie.
That's correct. Number six, Black Rain.
Andy.
That's correct. Number seven, Original Sin.
Angie.
That's correct. Number eight, Love Potion number nine.
Sandy.
Correct. Number nine, Jennifer 8.
Andy.
Ooh, Angie. It's an Angie. And finally, number 10. Wait, did you say Andy?
Yes.
That's correct.
I said Andy, not Andy. G.
That's correct. Number 10, Beyond Borders.
And G.
That is correct. So you got 1, 2 incorrect out of 10.
8 out of 10, not bad.
Good job, Drew. That's why you are 13 and 7. Here we go. Hit the top of my pen.
Nice job,
Drew. Yeah, thanks. Nice job. Good work there. Okay, let's see. Rage Against Twit hit us up on Twitter with his own review. The interview mini review.
Oh, sweet. We didn't see it.
We did not see it. We should be seeing it hopefully in time for next week's show.
Yeah, definitely.
Breadcrumbs of Gayness. Samwise Gamgee. Plastic Bag Drifting Through the Wind. Samwise Gamgee. Think Mang. Drifting through the wind. Oh, it's a movie review IQ.
Hey!
When you read it, it sounds like that sounds a little poetic there. Rage Against Twit hit us up with the movie review haiku. Nice work. The interview. The interview was released by Sony.
Mm-hmm.
Since last we were talked about it. Last week we were talking about it. They didn't know what they were doing. They announced that it came out in some independent theaters around the country. Played in streaming services. It's on YouTube for rent and purchase.
Xbox as well as Live.
Xbox Live, yes. Google Play, shit like that. Unfortunately, we just didn't have time with all the Christmas going on to see it ourselves.
Yep.
So hopefully by the time next week comes around. SBK saw it. Oh, Kevin, nice. He saw it. He liked it.
Okay.
Like, well, there's something else that I saw that he liked too. What was the other?
I don't know. Is it on Twitter? Because Twitter's down, Chris.
Twitter is down. So that's why I'm not checking Twitter. I'm checking the... I'm checking this here. This communique.
The Facebouquet.
Where I got here. Like, where he said... He said... Oh, Snowpiercer. I saw the interview at Snowpiercer. I like them both.
Yeah, Snowpiercer's awesome.
So there you go. There you go. At Matt Celery. Shouts Matt Celery. He writes on Twitter. Recently made a list of movies I want to see in 2015. Parentheses, 25. What are your top 5 movies to see in 2015? Hashtag Crespedown.
I only have 19 on my list.
You got 19. I came up with... 22. Top 5.
Yes.
Let's talk about the ones that didn't make your top 5.
Did not make my top 5. Star Wars.
Okay.
I'm just...
Is it close to the top 5? Or no?
It could be.
But not really?
Well, the only reason... I mean, it is. It was one of the ones that was getting scratched out at the end. It's Star Wars. I'm interested to see where it's going, but I've been burned so many times.
Been burned,
you know?
Before. How many times we gotta get gonorrhea before we stop going to the same hooker?
Exactly.
But she makes such big promises.
Avengers 2 is on the list as well.
Okay.
Didn't quite make it.
Sure.
And that's just because, you know, it's a big bloated mess. So
yeah.
Whatever.
Who knows what's gonna be good or not.
Ant-Man 2, Fantastic Four.
Okay.
Terminator Genesis.
Uh-huh.
Bond Spectre.
Uh-huh.
The SpongeBob movie.
SpongeBob.
Kingsman.
Kingsman, Secret Service, yeah.
Furious 7, Tomorrowland, Entourage, Jurassic World, that Scorsese project, Silence, and the Ridley Scott one, The Martian.
The Martian. So then, what would be your top 5?
Well, and in no particular order.
Fair enough.
Mad Max.
Okay.
Fury Road. Mm-hmm. Jupiter Ascending.
Okay.
Only because...
Wachowski's.
It's going to be a beautiful... If it's a mess, it's going to be a damn beautiful mess.
Beautiful
I'll tell
mess.
You that much.
It's going to be a hot mess at the least.
The new Cronenberg, Maps of the Stars. Or Maps to the Stars.
Maps to the Stars.
Chappie.
Yes, the new Neil Blomkamp, guy of District 9.
Yeah.
The visionary director of District 9.
And Inside Out, the new Pixar flick.
Man, there's a trailer now for that. Looks so good. Looks delightful.
Yeah.
Looks great. Looks like... what if our emotions were tiny aliens that were piloting our bodies like a spaceship?
Sweet.
For my, out of the 22, the ones that didn't make my top 5, I'm looking at, like you said already, Avengers, Ant-Man, Fantastic Four, Terminator, Bond, the Bond movie, Spectre is top 10. I considered it top 10 for me. Same with Jurassic World, considering that top 10. Jupiter Ascending is like a top 10. The thing about Jupiter Ascending is how it was pushed back. It was supposed to come out last summer. Now it's coming out in February. So it knocks my expectations down a little bit. Before, I was like so pumped for it. Now I'm like a little wary. But still, looking forward to it. Kingsman, like you said. You already mentioned that one. Maps of the Stars almost made my top 5. Because it's Cronenberg.
Yeah, exactly. That's the only reason why it's on there.
Love Cronenberg. Same with, no, Furious 7.
Yeah.
Because, I mean. It's the Fast and Furious guys versus the Transporter.
Yeah.
With a little bit of Kurt Russell thrown in.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrowland, I'm super interested in because Brad Bird is a great director. The Incredibles, Mission Impossible, Ghost Protocol, GoPro. Inside Out, Pixar movie, looking forward to it. Man from U.N.C.L.E. could be a fun movie because they've been working on that movie for years. At one point, Steven Soderbergh was attached to the adaptation of the 60s TV show. It's going to have Army Hammer and Superman.
Yeah.
Henry Cavill.
Yeah.
Yeah, those two guys. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon 2 could actually be good. Because it's being directed by Master Yuen Ping, who did all the fight choreography, and he's the action director for the original Crouching Tiger, the Kill Bill movies, the Matrix movies. He's that guy. His last movie was True Legend. That movie's crazy. So it could be good. The Peanuts movie, you know, I saw that the teaser trailer. It's a Peanuts teaser trailer.
Yeah.
And it was just Snoopy does the Red Baron gimmick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It got me.
Sold.
Yeah. I was like, this is... It's only the Red Baron thing, but you know what? If they capture the true spirit of Peanuts, then I'm in, because there's something about that world that I really dig. The Martian, Ridley Scott's The Martian, where I think it's Matt Damon plays an astronaut who's stranded, left behind on Mars, and he's trying to survive. Oops, you know, that sucks. Yeah. Mission Impossible 5, I like the Mission Impossible movies, most of them, you know, so the fifth one should be good. My top five, tentative order, number five. Silence, because it's the new Scorsese.
Yeah.
Four, Chappie.
Yeah.
Because it looks great. Even though I'm seeing a trailer in front of every fucking movie. Three, Crimson Peak. I want to see that big budget Guillermo del Toro English language horror.
Yeah.
First time he's ever made a movie like that. Number two, Star Wars. I'm very, very intrigued by a homeboy, Oscar Isaac, in the Star Wars universe. It's a really good trailer. Again, I might be setting myself up because to date, J.J. Abrams has not made a movie that I've loved, let alone really, really liked. He's made some that I've appreciated, then a bunch that I just don't like. Could this break the spell?
It could. Who knows?
Who knows? And number one movie I'm definitely looking forward to. There's no question about this one. I'm looking forward to Mad to the Max.
Yeah, Mad Max Fury Road. The trailer looks so fucking crazy.
It looks ridiculous. So. There you go. Most anticipated movies of 2015. I got a couple stories from the movie world, and we're out of here. It is kind of a slower time because it's the end of the year. A lot of people are on vacation. Some Star Trek 3 news. Going from Star Wars to Star Trek, they got themselves their director and a release date. Their director will be Justin Lin.
Okay.
The guy who did Fast and Furious 3, 4, 5, and 6. Almost did the new Terminator, dropped out of that one. He's ended up in the Star Trek sandbox, so it should be a big, bombastic, crazy, fun Star Trek movie. I hope there's a scene where young Captain Kirk, he slides on like the top of the Enterprise from one to the other, like super fast, and then like he jumps off and there's a 3,000-foot like drop onto another planet, dives headfirst into the water, and then he pops out. He's like, whew,
I'm fine.
Fast and Furious rules in Star Trek world. More importantly, he signed on, and it has a release date, July 8th. 2016. So the race is on for Justin Lin to get this movie made in about a year and a half.
Good luck, buddy.
That's how much time he has to make this huge budget movie. So, you know, Star Trek is my least favorite of the sci-fi franchise type things. Never really got that much into it. The Star Trek movies, I thought, I think you liked them more than I did.
Yeah, they were okay.
They were okay.
I mean, at the time, I thought they were fun, and in retrospect, they don't hold up to shit.
I don't think they hold up very well. So we'll see. I hope that doesn't happen with Star Wars. Talk about that, J.J. Abrams. I have here, Drew, the top 10 most overpaid actors of 2014. This is according to Forbes. You want to take any guesses? Who do you think is still getting paid, is still making movies, but probably shouldn't be?
Oh, man. I mean, fuck. I can't really even think of anybody.
I'll give you a number 10.
Okay.
Maybe that'll jog some things for you. At number 10, for every dollar you spend on this guy, you get $9.37 back. Is that right, or am I doing it backwards? Let me see. No, that's right. So every dollar you give this guy, you get $9.37 back. Ben Affleck.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure Johnny Depp is on the list.
Number two, Drew. Number two. For every dollar you give the guy, you get back $4.10.
Yeah.
That is absolutely correct.
Man.
Only one lady on the list. You mentioned her already on the show.
Amy Adams?
No.
Jessica Chastain.
No, not getting paid enough.
Sandra Bullock.
Sandra Bullock, number nine. For every dollar you give her, you'll get back $9.
Okay.
It's not too bad.
No.
So I give her $10 million, I'm getting back $90?
It's not bad at all.
That's overpaid? I guess we added all the other stuff.
Is Matt Damon on the list?
Matt Damon is number... No. No, he's not.
Because
he's not getting paid that much.
Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise is not on the list. No.
I don't know.
Which you would think he would be.
Do the rest of the list.
Edge of Tomorrow didn't do too well. Number eight, Denzel Washington.
Okay.
Gets you $6.90 for your dollar. Number seven, Channing Tatum.
Okay.
We get you $6.70. Number six, Will Ferrell. $6.60. So those three guys are very close.
Yeah.
Will Ferrell, Channing Tatum, Denzel. You can interchange them. A bit of a drop. To $5.20 at number five for Tom Hanks.
Ooh.
You were close.
Losing his gusto.
You were close. $4.90 for every dollar you give him. Ryan Reynolds at number four.
Yeah, totally.
$4.80 for every dollar you give him. Number three, Ben Stiller.
Okay.
And then it drops to $4.10 for Johnny Depp. And then easily, most overpaid actor in Hollywood by far. For 2014, you're number one. You give this guy a dollar, you get back $3.20. Adam Sandler.
Yeah, I can see that.
Adam Sandler. But you know what? He's fat paid.
He is.
He's got that Happy Madison deal with Sony where they pay him a ton. They give him a little bit of extra money to make the movie. And then when the gross comes back, he gets a nice chunk of that.
Yeah.
So Sony's barely making any money on their Happy Madison movies, you know. So let's see how much longer that relationship lasts.
It was probably a contract deal for X amount of movies.
But then he must have signed it forever ago, too, because they are cranking them out. Just look at that Blended movie that came out. Ooh, Nelly. But don't look at it, though, because you don't want to hurt your eyes. Pee-wee, her man.
Yes.
Is back.
Okay.
I mean, he's been back in...
Yeah, little stuff here and there.
In pop culture for a little while. You know, they released the original show on Blu-ray recently, and they had a big countdown of that. He's been making appearances as the Pee-wee character again for the first time in decades.
Yeah.
Right? And people are loving it. People are like, oh, yeah, that was pretty stupid how we exiled this guy from Hollywood.
For jacking off in a Triple X theater.
For jacking off in a porno theater, back when there were porno theaters. Yeah. Hey, it sucks to live in a town where nothing happens.
Yeah.
I.e.
Sarasota, Florida.
Hey, isn't there someone else around here?
Yeah, I actually, me and my friend spray painted Pee-wee's Playhouse on the side of the Triple X Theater maybe 6 days after it happened. Yeah, that's my little claim to fame.
That's Cogburn's Playhouse now. That's hysterical.
Yeah.
I'm writing that down because that's too rich. That is too rich.
Well, and funny enough, actually, the night that...
He got busted?
Yeah, he got busted. He was supposed to be at another friend of the show's parents' house because they were friends with Mr.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Interesting. They were going to have a dinner or something.
He was supposed to be over for dinner that night, and instead he called, said he couldn't make it, and got arrested jerking off in the porn theater.
It's double embarrassing.
Yeah.
That's like
so we actually... This show actually has some really close ties to that story,
hey,
surprisingly enough.
Mr. Rubens, if you'd like to come on the show and discuss this with us, we would love to have you on. And either as Mr. Rubens or Pee-wee.
Yes. Preferably as Pee-wee.
Yeah, we can talk to Pee-wee about jerking off. But Pee-wee's back, which for me, I say thank God because the Pee-wee show is great. It's on the Netflix.
Uh-huh.
Watch a little bit of it. It is fucking so insane.
Yeah.
So crazy.
Absolutely insane. I mean, Morpheus is a...
mailman. He's the cowboy mailman. Yeah, he's a cowboy.
He's a cowboy with Jerry Curls.
Phil Hartman's the genie head, right? Phil Hartman?
No,
is?
He's not the genie head.
Phil Hartman shows up, though.
Yeah, Phil Hartman shows up. He's the sea captain.
The Sea Captain. That's right. That's right. Ah, oh, man, I gotta go back and watch those episodes. But Netflix will also have, pretty soon here, the Judd Apatow-produced Pee-wee Herman movie.
All right.
It's coming out on the Netflix. It's going to be a Netflix production, which means most likely it will be a Netflix exclusive. The Wrap reports, unnamed sources say the film has moved from Universal to Netflix. Written by Paul Rubens and Paul Rust, who is a stand-up comedian and writer. Very interesting that they co-wrote it together. It should begin shooting by February 2015. A few months back, Paul Rubens said, "We now have such an amazing company involved, and that's a really big announcement that hasn't been made yet." So that company is Netflix.
There we go.
So there you go. Pretty interesting. And finally, with the whole TV movies thing, I think we talked about this before a little bit, the Evil Dead TV series.
Yeah.
It's totally being made.
All right. Pilot interesting.
Pilot's to be directed by Sam Raimi, who will then continue to produce the show. Bruce Campbell is going to be one of the leads. The name of the show is Ash vs. Evil Dead. But he won't be the only lead character. So here's some details.
Who will be?
It's going to be a 10-episode TV series. Coming out 2015, so this year coming up, and it's going to be on the Starz network. So it looks like someone is going to be subscribing to the Starz network for about 2.5 months there.
Is that going to be us?
Probably. The show basically acts as Evil Dead 4, but will offer more than a single film could. In a huge interview, Campbell has spoken about some of what the show will do and given a brief description of two new characters joining him in the fight against the Deadites. So Bruce Campbell had an interview with Entertainment Weekly, and here's a couple of snippets of what he said. Ash is living in a trailer park and working his latest thankless big box store job when a return of the Deadites prompts him to take a road trip with two young co-workers. So Tim and two young co-workers.
A guy and a girl.
Fighting dead. Yeah, it's gotta be a guy and a girl, right? It's always the...
It's always the dynamic.
You can see it from a mile away.
Yeah.
Campbell says that the series will offer a chance to show more of Ash's character. Quote, realize that if we made another movie, it would probably be too expensive, but in the format of a TV show, we could give people exactly what they wanted and expand the character and the story even more. Ash will probably have more dialogue in one season than in three movies. He'll have to become a more fleshed out character as well. And he also says, the beauty of Starz is there's no content issues. Let's face it, fans want the carnage and the mayhem, so we intend to give them quite the explosion of viscera.
Sweet.
How many times have you seen the Evil Dead movies?
A couple times each, probably.
A couple times for all three of them? I think I've seen the original Evil Dead once. And that was even fairly recently, within the last few years. I saw Evil Dead 2 a while ago, and I've ended up seeing that one a couple times. Army of Darkness, I've seen, like, I don't know, a dozen times, mm-hmm. maybe more. That's the one that's always on TV.
Oh, okay.
That's actually the first one that I saw.
Really?
Yeah, just the timing of it, my age, when it came out, et cetera, et cetera. I just happened to see Army of Darkness first. That was told later, oh, dude, that's a sequel. That's a third movie in a bunch. You guys check out these other movies that are very much different from Army of Darkness. There's no skeleton army. Much yeah. more dead things.
Sweet.
Deadites.
Yeah.
Never saw the remake.
No, neither did I.
Which was called just Evil Dead, I think, as opposed to The Evil Dead.
Yeah.
Things can get a little too bloody for me, you know?
Yeah, not really into that horror aspect. I mean, I like funny horror, and a lot of The Evil Dead is kind of that, you know...
Slapsticky horror.
A little campy.
Yeah.
And that I like. When they go real with it, that's from...
It's like, the world we live in is already so horrible.
Exactly.
We gotta be looking at this shit, too.
I see that shit on the news. I don't need to see it in my movies.
I see it on the Al Jazeera. Weird Al Jazeera. So, we got the Evil Dead movie coming out. I mean, Evil Dead TV show coming out instead of a movie. Looking forward to that. That'll be interesting.
Sweet.
And so that's on Starz. And also, what's the other one that we need to get? Westworld. Is Westworld HBO?
It better be.
No, Westworld is not HBO. Westworld is Showtime?
So we got your Showtime.
One of those, something like that. Whatever. But all these goddamn different networks. Anyway, that brings us to the end of episode 103 of Cinema Crespi. So thank you, Drewster Cogburn.
You're very welcome, sir.
We'll be back next week with 104. That makes 2 years. Two-year anniversary show.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
It's pretty crazy. It is here. We're going to have special guest Tom the Beer Guy from Orange Blossom Brewing.
Sweet.
We're going to hopefully be drinking some beers and talking movies.
Oh, if it's Tom, you know we'll be drinking beers.
And we're going to have a good time. So episode 104 is coming between then and now. Bonus episode. Enjoy that one, guys. And we'll be talking to you soon.
Deuces.